The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
The biggest soul-crushing thing for me to hear was when my wife would say, to my kids, calm down, be quiet. We don't want to upset Dad. Mm. You know, the place that my kids and my wife, anybody should be the most safe or feel the most protected is in their home. And here I am, just an absolute monster.
After suffering with severe PTSD, Brandon Kunath found healing, hope, identity, and a sense of purpose.
I'm so glad you joined us today. I'm James Robinson, and my wife Betty and I welcome you to life today. You know, the people that I think are the greatest heroes on the planet, I think they're the military and the armed service members, and all of those who are the first responders, I think you're heroes. I mean, some of you, y'all might live a pretty rough life, I don't know. You gotta be pretty rough and pretty tough, though, to take care of all of us who come under such fierce assault and do such foolish things oftentimes. It caused you to have to put your life in danger. And all of you in the armed services, you are risking your life and your limbs for our future and for freedom. I can't tell you how much Betty and I love you. And we do help. And I ask God to give us a way as a ministry, because when you're feeding the hungry and saving their lives and their very life depends on it, they have no tomorrow. If you don't feed them. Drilling water wells and they've never had fresh water. They have deadly, germ-infested, contaminated water that kills their children, their grandchildren, their families. And we set people free from sexual slavery and bondage. And it's an amazing thing. We give shoes and smiles for Christmas. We've built a hospital that takes care of facial and body injuries, the physical overseas. It's in Uganda. And it's amazing, and you do these things. And now then we said, God, how can we help our first responders? How can we help the armed service members? And God gave us Mighty Oaks as an answer to prayer. And we brought the couple in that you've heard this week. You go back online and listen to them. Susanna and Jeremy Salnicker. And we have Jeremy today, and one of the military pretty rough guys. I'm going to ask him just exactly how bad were you in the military doing what you were supposed to do. But then what happened, well, you're going to meet him. So, Jeremy, I want to welcome you back to life today.
Thank you. It's great to
And I want you to tell us about your guest. That he's a pretty big, strong guy.
Yeah,
I wouldn't cross him. I know you're a Marine. I know you're tough. But I believe I'd leave him alone.
Okay? I agree with you.
Tell me about it.
Sure. This is Brandon Kunath. Brandon is a retired Marine, served in a number of capacities, but I think his claim to fame, he'd tell you he's a machine gunner, which he was for a long time, but also led machine gunners, did six combat deployments, correct, I think, to Iraq and Afghanistan, and came to the Mighty Oaks program, to one of our programs back in 2013, by way of the Wounded Warrior Battalion in the Marine Corps. So wounded service members can go to a place to get help, and we had a good relationship at the time with that unit at Camp Pendleton, and Brandon came to one of our programs, and I won't speak for him, but I think changed his life. What's interesting about what we do at Mighty Oaks, and we say this all the time, is that there aren't professional clinicians. It's not a doctor speaking down to patients. Those who lead our programs, those who teach in our programs, those who lead, Brandon is our national programs director now, leads all of our programs for Mighty Oaks. We have all come through as students. We've all found help, hope, and healing, and really have the opportunity to stand in a place where we can say, we know where you are because we've been there. We've struggled the way that you've struggled, but God worked in our life. We want to help you as well, and that's what Brandon's doing every day at Mighty Oaks.
You know, I think you mentioned to me, Brandon, you had a pretty rough times even in your life, your childhood, and so forth. Why did you have those tough times, would you think, when you were more younger?
Well, I come from a military family. My dad was in the Army. I was born in Germany, and we bounced back and forth from Fort Knox, Kentucky, to Germany. I would tell you early on, I always wanted to join the military, and that culture early on kind of ingrained itself into me, and you know, the drinking, the partying, all that stuff. I thought that was the norm. And then quickly after the first Gulf War, after Desert Storm was done, my dad got out of the Army, and that really changed the home dynamic. And I just struggled to try to figure out who I was, what was going on. I had some early abuse that happened. You know, my dad was trying to figure himself out, and he had his own trials and tribulations that he was struggling through. And unfortunately, it took it out on my sister and I, and that kind of pushed us down this road to where I just grew up like trying to figure out who I was, not letting anybody hurt me or abuse me. And then I was in and out of a juvenile hall. I thought that was the cool thing at that time. Like it kind of gave me some kind of notoriety or something, you know, almost like a badge of honor. And then I threw a desk at my teacher in the 10th grade. And then that kicked me out of the entire school board of Kentucky school system. And I was like, well, Dad, you joined the Army, so I'll join the Army. And we went to see the recruiter, and the recruiter was like, hey, we'd love to have you, but you don't have any diploma. You don't have any high school diploma, GED or anything like that. There's nothing we can do. And then as I was about to leave, she interrupted me, and she's like, hey, there is this thing that I can introduce you to. It's a military academy. You can try to go there, and you can apply and see if they'll accept you. And it's a correctional military academy. And I guess I was the perfect candidate for them because they accepted me right away. And so I went. I went through that military academy. And funny enough, I graduated honor graduate, top of my class, which I always joke, my mom doesn't like when I do it, but I always joke that all that means is that I was the most improved of the bad kids.
So, it's a lot you surround yourself with.
Yeah, so quickly from that, I literally graduated that military academy, and next thing you know, I was at Marine Corps boot camp in Parris Island, South Carolina, learning what a Marine was and how to become a Marine.
And went where? Where was your service?
Yeah, so my first duty station was in Spain, Rota, Spain. I was a part of an anti-terrorism task force unit. At that time, 9/11 hadn't happened just yet. So the mission there and the environment was much different. We were protecting things. And then we saw the Twin Towers and what happened with that. And that just shifted everything. I think, you know, anybody that was around at that time knows exactly where they were at. I was at a school training, and I remember all the training stopped. We were brought into a classroom, and they had the TV on, and I looked up, and I honestly thought I was looking at a movie. I thought it was a scene out of, like, Die Hard that I had never saw before, or some movie I'd never seen. And then the captain, the officer in charge, walks in and tells us what happened. And that shifted everything. And then after that, I ended up in Iraq right after the initial push. Like, so Jeremy went in early on. I called it where we came in, and we were pretty much the tail end, and we were kind of sweeping up behind them. We were part of a Marine Expeditionary Unit, so we were on a ship. We floated over, flew in into a place called UNCASAR, which was one of the main port areas. So we were doing anti-smuggling counter operations there, and then just some other security stuff. And then from that time, we had to get back on the ship because we got to make our way back home. That deployment, even though things happened, we were in Iraq and the war was going on, I kind of left that deployment kind of feeling a little disappointed. Like I didn't get the combat deployment like I had wanted or I'd hoped for. I joined the Marine Corps to be an infantry guy. I became a machine gunner with that in mind. I knew what my job was. I knew what I was supposed to do. There was no war when I joined, but the idea of that it could happen was there. And so leaving that deployment, I kind of felt a little bit down. And I had just enough time on that first contract to where I could easily go back over. A unit needed non-commissioned officers to go over again. So I did what we call cross-decking, and I just turned and burned and went on another one.
As a machine gunner.
As a machine gunner. So I went from the unit, 1st Battalion, 1st Marines, to 2nd Battalion, 1st Marines. And I was a part of Echo Company, and I found myself in a city called Fallujah.
And you actually ended up in Afghanistan, too, right?
In 2010, I ended up in Afghanistan. And through that time, the short time between, 2005 to 2008 was really the only time I did not deploy. I was an instructor. I was a combat instructor.
Did you realize how dangerous these people were that you were with in Afghanistan?
100%.
It was incredible.
100%.
You know, because I knew Reagan and I knew General Daniel Graham, and the people that were the power in Afghanistan were, Reagan was told, these are the most dangerous people. Mm-hmm. They're more dangerous than the Soviet Union you're resisting and using them to resist. They're actually more dangerous than the Soviets had ever been. And of course, that proved out to be very, very, very true. Okay, so you did finish out your service there, right?
I did, yes, sir.
All right, and why did you come home and when did you come home?
Through that time, 2005, perfected my craft as a machine gunner. I really made that a part of me. The culture, especially in the infantry, is who's the strongest, who's the toughest, who can drink the most, yell the most, cuss the most, get with the most ladies, all of those things, and just be rough, tough, and that's,
you know,
just...
It makes me sad when you're doing something so right, and yet the enemy can twist you up in your life to do so much so wrong.
Right.
And that's really the way the enemy operates. He's the greatest manipulator, deceiver. He's cunning, he's crafty, he's deadly, he's destructive. And by the way, that's the enemy we're standing against. Mm-hmm. It's not people, it's spiritual, deceiving spirits and Satan. Okay, now we need to cut to where you got to. He reached a point here where things fell apart. Mm-hmm. Everything was coming apart. You end up involved with Mighty Oaks. Who wants to tell us how that happened, that connection?
Yeah, I mean, what I knew about Brandon when he came to Mighty Oaks was, and what I learned about Brandon, I guess, was, you know, his marriage is falling apart. This is the story, right? And it's sad to say, to your point, that this is the common story, but the marriage is falling apart. We've tried everything else, and there's really nowhere else to go. And I think that's fair to say, right?
Did you have children?
I had.
Everything's coming apart.
Everything was coming apart.
Would you say it is the after effect of the war and all the things that have been programmed into you that were not necessarily healthy and meaningful, and now it's coming to a head?
Everything came to a head, and that last deployment that I was on was a non-combat deployment. It was just an operation, and that's where it almost felt like I hit mud. And I just stopped. Like the best way that I was able to operate was when I was really busy. Like during firefights or just under stress, I could think the most clearest. I everything kind of slowed down and I could operate really well. But when I was at home, if we didn't order fast enough in the drive-thru at a fast food restaurant, I would lose my mind. Or if something didn't happen the way I wanted it to, I would absolutely lose my mind. So I could operate like the best I could as a Marine, but when I went home, I was a complete mess. I didn't know how to communicate with my wife. I didn't know how to communicate with my kids. And there's a moment where I came back from a training event. My daughter was 2. I walk in the door. It was late at night, and I remember her falling kind of off of the couch where my wife and daughter were resting, and she got tangled up in the blanket, and she was so excited to see me. Mm-hmm. And she went to run over because I came through the door. I just come home from training, and I don't remember a moment like that later on. It was actually, where's Camille? Where's my daughter? When I'd come home with my son, they kind of disappeared. It was, they scattered because they didn't know what dad was going to come home. They didn't know what was going to set me off. The biggest soul-crushing thing for me to hear was when my wife would say, to my kids, calm down, be quiet. we don't want to upset dad. Mm. You know, the place that my kids and my wife, anybody should be the most safe or feel the most protected is in their home. And here I am, just an absolute monster. And I could say it was because of my deployments. I could say it was because of childhood trauma, all of those things. But I chose to act that way. Now there's things that happened inside of me, the way I would respond to certain sounds, smells. Those are normal, those are natural. But I chose to respond those way, to be a menace.
When did you feel like you'd gotten to a point to where you had to have help or you were gonna do something really bad?
It really never came to that point. It just, it was here and there, I would notice it, but I pushed it down. And I got to the point where I didn't even care that I didn't even care anymore. Like most people would be like, man, what's going on with me? I would do that, but I just didn't even care about it. When my wife and I would get into a fight, I would laugh about it. And I would hurt people, or you know, it was easy to destroy other things because I felt like I didn't deserve it. I didn't know how to, you know, I didn't know how to operate anything. I almost got like Ferdinand, I would destroy everything around me on purpose. But it finally got to the point where I just said, you know what, I'm done. I kept hearing about this thing, Mighty Oaks, at that unit. I didn't want to take part in the events or the groups that were there, but this one just something spoke to me in it. In all honesty,
was there a Mighty Oaks close by?
At the program, well, the program was 4 hours from Camp Pendleton, and a church that I would end up going to later actually volunteered to drive a group of us up when we went. But I went with complete selfish reasons. I went to get away. Like, I just wanted to get away. The place looked really nice. They said, you're going to go to a really nice place. You're going to get fed real well, and, you know, other things will happen. It is faith-based, and they kind of led the little bit of breadcrumbs for us, but I went to just completely get away.
Okay, we got just a few minutes left, but what happened there?
I didn't like what I was hearing at all. It's, you know, the truth hurts, and especially when somebody's poking you in the chest and asking those hard questions, and when you don't have the ability to answer it properly, where you can't answer when you became a man, what does a man even look like? What does that mean? And then when you ask that question of, you know, the legacy that you're going to leave, is it going to be one worth leaving? We're going to leave one regardless if we want to or not. But if I was to box me up, hand it over to my kids and my wife or anybody that would take it and wonder what they were going to do with it, I did not like the response, whether they kept it, chucked it, but I was not leading my family. I wasn't leading my home, and I was not in any way, shape, or form leading an inheritance for my children's children. And for me to answer that question of my eternity and where I truly will end up, I didn't like the answer to that. And so I submitted my life to Christ on a Wednesday night there, and just dedicated everything. I think about Romans 10:14 of how will they know of the truth that's out there if no one's preaching it? Mm-hmm. And so I kind of dedicate myself to that and making sure that the same hope, healing, and restoration that I've been introduced, God remolding my heart, putting a new one in me, I can make that opportunity for other people.
That's good.
And you were changed?
Absolutely, 100%.
Could your wife tell?
My wife, she had no idea who Jesus was. She'd never opened up a Bible before that. So when I was telling her, like, hey, I'm gonna do this and all this other things, I thought she was gonna be on board. I was clueless and very naive. What I didn't realize is that, as my wife would say it, I was on this new road to righteousness. And because I had wiped my slate clean, not me, mm-hmm. but my slate was wiped clean, I was good. But what I forgot was all the destruction mm-hmm. and mayhem that I had left in the past. So my wife felt left out. She just felt like I was leaving her behind. She was used to me saying, sorry, I won't do it again. And she was just waiting for me to pick her up mm-hmm. and slam her back down. Mm-hmm. Because I had said it before, I'm done drinking, or I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do this, that, and the other. And I'd immediately go back to it, because I was behavior changes and modifications, but I didn't have any heart change. And for me to feel that I was changed and actually feel. I cried like a baby in front of a whole bunch of strangers at a place called Sky Rose Ranch in Central California almost 11 years ago. And it was the first time that I had emotions, and I just had this wave that I couldn't deny Christ working in me.
Thank you, God.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And she saw it, and she's changed.
Yeah, I mean, Jeanette's story is that she accepted Christ through Mighty Oaks as well, and now she's, you've heard about our women's program. She's very, very involved with our women's program. And same thing, you know, to Brandon's testimony of preaching to others what Christ has done in her life.
This is the story of Mighty Oaks, and now Brandon is one of the leaders. And his wife is helping and source of inspiration. And we're asking you to help us put another man like this through the Mighty Oaks experience and be changed. And it takes $3,500, isn't that right?
That's right.
For a man to go through. You pay everything. You get their transportation there, home.
That's right.
Take care of everything.
For man or woman,
there,
yep.
Period. Men and women.
Yep.
And would you pay someone's way? We want to send 30 men through. That's what our goal is this week, 1 week. That's $105,000. That's why we're doing all the other things we have to do. You don't want to take from a hungry child or somebody that needs clean water and do something different. This is something we're doing right now, this week. Could you help? Would you help, please? Would you say thank you to the armed service members and the first responders for their protection of our freedom and our future and our families? Would you please do that? Would you right now get your bank card or your checkbook, make the biggest gift you can, and call and tell us it's going in the mail? Or I just put it online, put it on my card now. Please do it. Brandon, we're so thankful to God for changing you. Yeah. So thankful that you're spending your life now helping the other service members. We want to thank you, Jeremy, for what you and your wife are doing, what Mighty Oaks is doing. Let's be a part of it. Help us right now this week to perform a miracle. We're going to see 30 men's lives changed. We're going to be saying thank you to a whole lot more than that by showing them how much we love them and appreciate them. You do what God's leading you to do.
We live in a country with nearly 23 million veterans. Sadly, many of those who have served come home carrying the invisible scars of war. With 22 veteran suicides each day, and so many of our nation's heroes, including first responders, suffering post-traumatic stress, these men and women often live in despair. But you can help make a difference today and offer these warriors a bright new future. Life Outreach International is excited to honor our nation's bravest men and women as we partner to send 30 veterans and first responders through the Legacy Program offered by Mighty Oaks. Here, these heroes will be equipped with tools to fight through life's challenges and uncover their God-given purpose in life. At a cost of $3,500 per participant, a total of $105,000 is needed to make this possible. Please give what you can as a way of providing hope and saying thank you to those at the core of the freedoms we enjoy. Call, write, or make your gift online.
Well, I'm thanking Jeremy, and I thank Brandon, and of course, Susanna for all that they're doing, all that Mighty Oaks is doing. And I just thank you for helping us today, Betty. This has been a real answer to prayer. Mm-hmm. And just thank God for the armed service members, for the first responders, and let them know how much they mean you. Go over and buy them a meal sometime if you see them in a restaurant. Just tell them you love them. See somebody with a badge, thank them for wearing it. Thank them for standing up for freedom. I love you two guys.
Thank you.
I really do. I'm proud of you. Y'all stay in touch with us, okay?
Sure.
We're going to keep you informed of what's going on and what happened this week. I pray we go above and beyond what we're talking about. But you do all you can do to help. And Betty and I thank you for putting God's arms around a lot of people. It means a lot that you're putting God's arms around the first responders and the armed service members. They're true heroes. They really are. To me, you're a hero by sharing His love and His will. Thank you so much.
You're not dead until you're no longer breathing. And yet there are a lot of people who are breathing who are living like they're dead.
I started listening to them, and everything they said just kept hitting me in the heart over and over and over again. It's like all the things that I didn't know that I needed to hear. And I opened my heart to God that week, dude, and like, I've been a different person ever since. I mean, I can't even describe how quickly all that emptiness that I had that I couldn't fill with women, with drugs, with liquor, with just anything. Boom.
I was immediately greeted by a staff of men that knew what I was going through, had been in my shoes.
You could imagine a rope with 1,000 knots, and little by little, each knot was being undone.
Everything that I was told here just made sense to me. It's given me like a new lease on life.
I thank God for saving me.
They're exposing the pain for you to understand where it's coming from and for you to move forward.
This is the first week in a long time where I've laughed and I smiled.
When I think about my husband, I can't imagine the man that he was before. And now he's the one that brings the peace in our home. In the past 2 to 3 years, we've been through some of the hardest things personally as parents, and just a lot of trials that we've ever been through. And I know it would have wrecked our marriage if we didn't have Mighty Oaks.
And I know I needed help. And I felt like I was at the end of my rope. I come here, this Mighty Oaks program, it has been so good.
For over 60 years, Life Outreach International has shared the transforming truth of God's love in both word and deed. We are forever grateful to everyone who has joined us in our mission of providing water to the thirsty, food to the hungry, shelter to the orphan, and meeting the various needs of those who are struggling. Our ministry to the lost and hurting is only made possible because of the prayers and generous gifts of our friends and partners who provide consistent, faithful support. Become a Friend for Life partner with your recurring financial gifts. We'll send you our monthly newsletter, along with encouraging spiritual resources to uplift and inspire you in your daily Christian walk. Best of all, you'll be blessed to know that your ongoing gift is helping make possible the outreaches of life. Call now or go online to become a Friend for Life. Your monthly support will help us continue to bring God's love, hope, and healing to a world in need. One life at a time. Please call now. Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news from all of the outreaches of Life. Subscribe, follow, like, and get the Life Today social media experience.
And there were really times that I thought he's going to take his own life.
After struggling with PTSD, this former Marine is now helping other heroes dealing with trauma.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.